At Providence Reformed Church, we've been working our way through the latter part of Isaiah recently. It's where the prophet records God's word of comfort to the Israelites who would later find themselves in Babylonian exile. Well, with all this tumult we are experiencing throughout the world on account of the flu pandemic and everything that goes with it, the elders and I have decided to step away from Isaiah so that we might give attention to a few passages in Holy Scripture that should be particularly helpful to the saints during this strange, somewhat unsettling time. We begin here in 1 Peter chapter 1 because the Apostle Peter describes us Christians as exiles or pilgrims, some translations have it. Exiles, pilgrims, or even strangers. We are people who are not at home in this world. That's Peter's point in using such language, exile or pilgrim or stranger. We're not at home in this world, no matter how long we've lived in any particular place. We're not at home here. Through his saving grace in Christ Jesus, God has made us to belong to him, to his royal family, to his everlasting kingdom. And we pilgrims praise our preserving God. The sermon title, we pilgrims praise our preserving God. We praise him because he protects, preserves us, purifies us, his children in Christ, through all these troubles, through all the vicissitudes of life in this present evil age, until at long last, beloved, we enter into our glorious kingdom inheritance. And so, with that introduction, we turn now to the Word of God, 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's start at verse 1. This is God's holy and living Word. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, as was necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The Word of God from 1 Peter chapter 1. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ and friends, as you know, the current coronavirus pandemic has really shaken things up. Many people are very frustrated because they're unable to live their routine lives. Many people are filled with fear, filled with all kinds of anxiety, not merely regarding toilet paper, not merely regarding the cancellation of their favorite sporting events. Those things have sort of passed away. Now, there are many sick people, as a matter of fact. Many sick people wondering if they have much longer to live. Many loved ones who are separated by quarantine and all of these different ordinances against public assembly. There are many needy people who have lost their jobs or who are presently fearing that they will not have the money they need to buy their food, to pay for their bills, to obtain the medicine that allows them to go on living. And of course, we're all wondering how hard we are going to be hit by economic recession or even economic depression. These are uncertain times. All sorts of things shaken up all around us. And many people indeed are shaken up. Brothers and sisters, you understand that things may get much worse before they get any better. But I'm thankful. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful not only for my own health and the health of my family. We can be thankful for the Lord having spared us thus far. But I'm thankful also that the majority of people out there seem to be keeping calm. With everything that's so topsy-turvy, it's quite a marvel that so many people are keeping calm. They're not exactly freaking out, rioting and looting, at least none of that just yet. We pray God would keep that sort of thing from happening at all. But I'm especially thankful that God is using the present troubles to wake up so many Christians who get too comfortable in this world. I just know that God is using the present troubles to remind us, believers, that we have no lasting home in this present evil age. That we are exiles in this world because we belong to a new creation in Christ Jesus. That we are pilgrims on our way to a better country, to a city whose designer and builder is God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. Beloved, I'm thankful that God is not only reminding us about who we really are, but also refining us so that we'll be careful to live as the people He's called us to be. His peculiar pilgrim people, until we reach our glorious home through His preserving grace. Our theme: Christian pilgrims face many trials in a broken world, yet we praise God who preserves and purifies us until we obtain our kingdom inheritance. Again, Christian pilgrims face many trials in a broken world, yet we praise God who preserves and purifies us until we obtain our kingdom inheritance. The Apostle Peter wrote this particular letter to Christians throughout the land that we now know as Turkey. He calls them exiles, or again, pilgrims could be another translation. Not because they had all been scattered as part of the dispersion of Jews all over the Greco-Roman world. That happened quite some time before Peter even lived, the Jewish diaspora, the dispersion of Jews away from the promised land and throughout all the Greco-Roman world. This is after that fact. Many of the Christians to whom Peter writes are in fact Jewish believers, but many of course are Gentile Christians. Peter calls all of them, whether Jew or Gentile, he calls all of them exiles or pilgrims. Because you see, beloved in the Lord, Christians no longer belong to this world. We live in it, but we don't belong to it. We're not to be characterized by it. Christians are people who belong to God. We are the people of God. And through His grace in Jesus Christ, we belong to His everlasting kingdom. It does not mean that we detach ourselves from the rest of human society, but it does mean that while we live in this world, we must not conform to its ways. We must expect to suffer various trials. And that is especially what Peter brings before us in this first part of his letter. We must expect, as God's peculiar pilgrim people, to face many trials. That's often the reality faced by pilgrim people as they sojourn in a foreign land. They face various difficulties, even enemies, all kinds of dangers. They're not at home. And that must be the frame of mind that we have as God's pilgrim people, as disciples of Christ. If you are a disciple of Christ, you are going to face many, many trials in this broken world. Yet, you can praise your God and Savior because he is faithful to preserve his beloved children so that we can persevere through all of these troubles and at last reach our glorious inheritance in God's kingdom. May the Lord God use his word to comfort us in these troubling times. May he strengthen us by his word and spirit, even now, so that we might go on praising him and placing all our hope in him. A few points that come right out of our passage, friends, I'd like you to follow along with me as we just move through the text here, taking a few minutes for each of these three points. First of all, we pilgrims praise the triune Savior to whom we belong forever. We pilgrims praise the triune Savior to whom we belong forever. Yes, for now we remain pilgrims in this world. But as Christians, we are forever the people who belong to our triune Savior. Notice the beginning of our passage. Peter says he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. He writes to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Dear saints, what matters most right now and really every day of our lives is not our employment situation. What matters most is not our financial condition, not your standard of living, or even your physical health. What matters most today and always is knowing that we really are not our own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to our faithful God and Savior. As we are reminded by the words of answer number one in the Heidelberg Catechism. Peter calls Christians elect exiles. You notice there at the beginning of our passage. Elect exiles, not because God elected or chose us to be exiles in particular, but because God's gracious choice to save us has turned us into exiles no matter where we live in the world. Elect means that we Christian believers are God's chosen people, elect or chosen people. And Peter explains that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, God foreknows all things so that nothing ever surprises him. Just because he's God, eternal God, almighty creator. But in the Bible, foreknowledge is a matter of God choosing to love us through his eternal Son, Jesus, before we ever existed. That's the meaning of God's foreknowledge in Scripture. It means that he loved us before we existed, as Paul would make more clear in Ephesians 1. We Christians belong to God not because we chose him, but because he chose us to be his children in Christ, in spite of all of our sins. Notice how Peter also describes us elect exiles as those who exist in the sanctification or holiness of the Spirit. We're elect exiles according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification or the holiness of the Spirit. God has not only chosen us to be his people, but has also sent his own Spirit into our hearts so that we would be his children. The Holy Spirit gives us a new heart, as a matter of fact, so that we turn from our sins. The Holy Spirit is given to us to give us a heart to understand what we are as sinners, to recognize our holy God and to repent of sin and believe on his Son, Jesus Christ, the only Savior. The gift of the Holy Spirit brings us new life with God. We're not at home in this world, but God has made his home in us. And that makes us his holy people. We We are the holy people of God in Christ Jesus. And of course, it means that we must strive to walk in holiness, in obedience to Jesus Christ, as Peter goes on to say in verse 2. God the Father chose us to be his children, gave us his own spirit so that we sinners would choose to follow Christ, to believe on him for salvation, to submit to him who is Lord over all. He is our Lord. Christ Jesus is our master. Because after living a perfectly obedient human life in our place, Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross, suffering the punishment we deserve under God's holy wrath, so that we who believe in Christ may have everlasting peace with God, who forgives all our sins for the sake of his Son. The Lord Jesus not only paid for our sins, beloved, he paid for our sins by the shedding of his blood on the cross, but he also purchased us with that precious blood. As Peter says, our Savior sprinkles us with his blood. With his own blood, Jesus washes away all the guilt and filth of our sins and marks us as his own special possession. Listen, if you have no peace, but are filled with all kinds of fear and anxiety over the present troubles owing to this virus, it's very likely that you still belong to this present world, which is passing away. And if you remain in your sin and unbelief, you will pass away with it and enter into everlasting punishment that will be infinitely worse than any suffering you could experience in this world. But that need not happen. Hear God's word of grace today. Turn from your sins. Put faith in Jesus, the crucified Savior who now lives and gives to all who receive him the forgiveness of sins and the Holy Spirit for everlasting salvation. To those Christian believers who belong to the triune God, Peter says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Because no matter how severe the troubles are in this world, no matter how much we may lose, God is with us. And he keeps his beloved, blood-bought children in Christ Jesus forever. Dear saints, this brings us great comfort, and it ought to motivate us pilgrim people to go on praising our triune Savior to whom we belong now and always. Notice how Peter gives praise to God here in our passage, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. My second point, friends, we pilgrims praise God who preserves us for our eternal inheritance. We pilgrims praise God who preserves us for our eternal inheritance. As our economy takes a big hit, remains to be seen just how severe it will be, but the economy is going to take a hit, and people are going to be very worried about receiving their inheritance in this world, enjoying their retirement and so forth. Others will worry that they may not have any inheritance to give their children. None of these things are certain. All of them last only for a season. You know that, people of God. You must know that. But Christians have this eternal inheritance. That word inheritance should remind us that God has graciously chosen us, has redeemed us with the blood of his Son, Jesus, has sealed us with his Spirit so that we would be his children, co-heirs with Christ of that glorious inheritance, the kingdom of God. We sinners were by nature children of wrath, but we join Peter in praising God the Father who had mercy on us and saved us through the work of Jesus Christ. There are many people in the Christian church who think that they might lose all kinds of things in this world through the present troubles that are upon us, And indeed, there are many Christians who fear that they might even lose their salvation. But for those who have a true faith in Christ, there is no way that salvation can be lost. And that's not because of the strength of our faith in our Savior Jesus. It's because He is a perfect Savior. And it's because God the Father has a mighty and sovereign love for His children, a love that secures us for eternal life. Look, when God bestows on us that gift of salvation, He causes us to be born again, as Peter says here. The Holy Spirit grants us new life in Christ through the word of the gospel. As Peter goes on to say at the end of chapter 1, you might turn there with me for a moment. The end of chapter 1, verse 23, he says, "Since you have been born again," there it is again, "you've been born again not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God." Peter wants Christian believers to know that our salvation has been fully and perfectly secured by Christ Jesus, who was crucified for us. That as surely as He now lives, raised from the dead, we who believe in Him also live. His resurrection life is actually at work, already at work in us through the gift of His Spirit. And notice, we've been born again to a living hope, Peter says. Back in our passage, verse 3, "Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, He's caused us to be born again to a living hope." People in this world have all kinds of hopes, some of which might be realized. Many other hopes never come to fruition. But you see, beloved in the Lord, we believers have a different kind of hope. Peter qualifies it as a living hope. It's not wishful thinking. It's a living hope because Jesus lives. Victorious over sin and death, He is already enjoying His everlasting inheritance in glory. And that inheritance, enjoyed now by Jesus Christ, our Savior, is our inheritance by the grace of God. Sovereign grace by which our Father keeps our inheritance absolutely safe there in heaven, as Peter goes on to say here in our passage. It remains forever imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. That can't describe anything in this world, right? But it describes our inheritance in Christ Jesus by the grace of God, because our mighty God and Savior keeps it for us. Better than that, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, guards us. You who believe in His Son are guarded by the almighty power of your God. He preserves you until you at long last obtain the fullness of your salvation. We Christians remain weak, sinful people, always prone to wander. We would surely be lost if our persevering to the end depended on us. But praise be to our triune God and Savior, whose sovereign love preserves us. Finally, Peter reminds the saints why we need God's preserving grace. We face many trials in this present evil age. Notice verse 6. He says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, as was necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." My third and last point: we pilgrims praise God who uses painful trials to purify our faith. Again, we pilgrims praise God who uses painful trials to purify our faith. Earlier in the passage, Peter speaks of the future fullness of our salvation, but now he's speaking of the present reality of our salvation. We are now obtaining the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Verse 9. We do not yet see the kingdom of God in all of its glory. Peter acknowledges that we do not now see King Jesus, our Savior. But we love him because he first loved us. And we have salvation today because he laid down his life for us, died in our place. That salvation fills us with inexpressible joy that should lead us continually to praise our God and Savior. But we are a peculiar pilgrim people, for we go on praising God in spite of so many trials in this world. It's not a matter of praising God because he makes everything work out so perfectly in our lives. Makes us so successful, right? Healthy and wealthy. No, not at all. We go on praising our God through many painful trials, through all kinds of troubles that we must experience in this broken world. We praise God in part because we know that he not only preserves us, protects us through all of these troubles. We go on praising him, friends, because we know he uses those trials to purify us. Christians do not enjoy painful trials in this world any more than non-Christians enjoy their painful trials. Peter acknowledges that we are grieved over such things. The troubles of this life often bring us unspeakable sorrow, anxiety of mind, brokenness of heart. God wants us to know that we belong to him, that he will keep us forever, and that he will use all these troubles to strengthen our faith in him. Peter reminds us that the trials are only going to last for a little while, a very short time in comparison with eternity. But notice he also reminds us that these trials are necessary. Did you catch that word? In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, verse 6, for a little while, as was necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. You say, well, why would it be necessary? Let me tell you why, friends. It is God's plan to grow us up as his children, already redeemed in Christ Jesus. We are his children. It's his plan to grow us up as his children in Christ by means of the training he gives us. Training that takes the form of many troubles, various trials in this life. When tested by fire, Peter acknowledges that gold, you know, you take gold or silver, you burn away the dross, the impurities. That's the image he has here in this passage. The fire may be too much and may do more than purify, might destroy if it's too hot. Might destroy those precious metals. But Peter says, your faith is more precious than gold. And when God brings the fiery trials, they're not ever meant to destroy his children. He will not let the fiery trials destroy his children, destroy our faith. He will use in his perfect wisdom, in his efficacious, sovereign love for us in Jesus, our God and Father will use these fiery trials to refine and purify our faith in him and in his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we grow as his children. Beloved in the Lord, understand that the present troubles come not by chance, but by the appointment of our sovereign God. He has good and righteous purpose in all that he is doing in the world, though we may not understand it at all. But remember this, dear saints, he has loving purpose toward us in Christ and will use all of these things to humble us and to make us more reliant upon him. He will use these things to deepen our faith in Christ so that more and more we would not identify ourselves as mere earthlings, but as God's pilgrim people who have an eternal inheritance through his grace in Christ. May this bring us great comfort today as we fight off all fears by putting faith in the Lord. as we put away all grumbling and complaining and go on giving glory to our gracious God who preserves us, protects us, and is at work, even now, purifying us, his people. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.